Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what's poppin', my dudes? PSA Podcast. Y'all already know what it is, man. It's your boy, Three Letter Man. Watson, what's good?
Peace to the gods.
Yes, sir. Let's get right into this, sir. See a lot of people asking about appreciations. We here, my niggas. We here. We've done a couple battle rap appreciations. We've done Mook. We've done T-Rex. We did Mook. We did Surf. We did Loaded Lux. In fact, my partner here, Mr. Watson, before a couple of you guys' appreciations that we did, he thought it was battle rap blasphemy that we did not do this first individual. But we're here now. I'm going to Harlem. I say T-Rex. You say what, my G?
Legendary first ballot Hall of Famer battle rapper from Harlem. T-Rex, to me, is a Smack DVD legend. He's a URL legend.
Can you really be a Smack DVD legend if you had maybe two battles on it? Not more than
yes,
two, three?
Because it's legendary to be on Smack DVD. His battle with Uncasa is
okay.
A legendary battle on Smack DVD. That's legendary. So someone who comes from the DVD era, someone who comes from the mixtape era, who was able to transition into the YouTube era on the inaugural first URL card against Mav Hoffa on the first ever URL card, T-Rex, to me, first ballot Hall of Famer, Summer Madness 1, 2, and 3, no question, top-tier legend T-Rex.
Now, when you and I were buying the DVDs back in the day and we watched the battle with him and Casa, what was your take? Because those times then, Sean, those battles were not three-round battles. Those were battles for like 5-6 rounds. Obviously, Mook and Lux first battle, J Mills and Murder Mook. I think Party Arty and Mook was three rounds though, right? Or was it more than that? I don't remember. I got an old head, man. Forgive me, common boys. What do you think about the Rex and Casa battle when you first watched it? I'm pretty sure you watched it like a million times, just like the rest of us.
Well. What intrigued me was that Uncasa was battling somebody I did not know. So I was lit talking about, yo, Uncasa's battling some dude. Did not know that dude was 18-year-old T-Rex. And in my mind, I'm like, yo, Uncasa's battling some dude. That's washing him. Uncasa lost that battle. But it was a fun battle. You could see that they knew each other. You could see that it was pure Harlem vibe. You could tell, like, that's a classic DVD battle to me. You know, T-Rex would say a rhyme, and Uncasa would finish it for him, yelling, "You said that already! You spit that already! You said that on the radio!" Like, I really got hype. Like, I'm like, yo, what is going on here? You know what I'm saying? So, just that memory of the Smack DVD era and that T-Rex battle was my introduction to T-Rex. And little did I know, because I copped mixtapes heavy in them streets, that I used to see him do a lot of, he had songs with Remy Ma and all this. I was like, yo, this dude is so much. He had songs with Ether Boy, Ron Brown, so he started making a name for himself.
Ron Brown again, Jesus Christ.
Yo, T-Rex worked with Ron Brown's, man. Like, that's the truth. You know what I'm saying?
All
so
right.
T-Rex is, to me, first ballot Hall of Famer, legend, icon, battle rapper. You could make a case that he might be number one in Harlem. You could make an argument about it. An argument. I said you can argue about it. And I'm not saying it. I'm saying, but you can make an argument about it.
Can you really? Over Lux?
Summer Madness conceded, right?
Summer Madness
Averb. Summer Madness Calico. All right. That's iconic, legendary stuff. Some of your favorite battle rappers like Cortez and Tay-Rock were not on them first two Summer Madnesses. Let's be clear on that.
Yes.
And they was around. They were there. They were battling.
Their name
wasn't
bubbling, though.
They were not on those cards.
Their names weren't bubbling like it was. It wasn't bubbling, nigga. My nigga, their names were not
bubbling when he got the Hitman bout. What was John's name bubbling when he battled Hitman?
No, sir. But hold on. The thing with John is, which I think what he did is he pissed off Hitman so much that Hitman fell for the bait, so to speak.
Yes, he did. And let me say this. In the early era of Summer Madnesses, how would you know who was bubbling?
Every man for themselves.
One.
Right.
Yeah. But I'll tell you who was on it. T-Rex. You know what I'm saying? T-Rex is somebody in battle rap I will always give props to.
His battle with Tech N9ne when they had New York versus Philly. What you thought about that battle?
I loved that battle. That was the first time I'd ever seen Tech N9ne. And that's when he did the SPI, when he shouted out
P-I-T-A-G-E.
I thought it was a different style he was using, and it was very intriguing to me. That was during the period where I was really obsessed with Philly battle rap. Like, I was like, these Philly dudes are nasty. You know, him, Enes, Hollow Man, there was a couple of other dudes. I used to, you know, Reed Dollars. Like, there was a lot of those dudes. I used to watch their DVDs.
Eddie Morris.
All of them. And I really liked that Philly battle rap approach. You know what I'm saying? But it's just another moment to just show you how legendary T-Rex is. T-Rex will battle anybody, man. T-Rex ain't scared to battle nobody. He been this way.
All right. Let's go here. T-Rex or Murder Mook? Who's done more for battle rap?
T-Rex.
Common Boys would agree with you on that?
I think everybody will agree with me on that.
Is that the popular thing to say?
It's the absolute popular thing to say. We're in 2018, okay? Nobody's going to be like, T-Rex hasn't done anything for battle rap. Y'all forget he was on Battle Rap America battling nobodies? Like, he really put in work as in battle rap. Like, he was doing smack battles plus Battle Rap America. You remember that phase he went through with that dude?
Yeah. And he also battled on
like,
Grind
so
Time. He also battled on Grind Time also, my nigga. Got to give him his props.
Absolutely.
He battled Awkwards and all that. You know what I'm saying?
Word. Like, my man, he's that's battle rap. When you do that, that's putting in work and that's doing it for the culture. When you do that, that's what doing it for the culture means. It means
he's
even
battled
battles.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead.
You're saying he even battled what?
No, I was saying he even battled niggas like G Soldier and Artisan, like low, you know, niggas that's on the come up, even giving young niggas chances. I think that's underestimated. A Young DNA also, when he battled Young DNA on Thomas Money for one round.
Classic battle. That's a classic
battle. I love
that
battle.
Thomas Money. That is a classic battle. You see, I'm glad you brought that up because now that I'm thinking about it, T-Rex has a lot of my battle rap memories or T-Rex related. And these are battles I watched more than once. I watched that battle with G Soldier.
That's a fact.
I forgot all about that. I was watching his battles with all them. Did he battle Rad B too?
Who?
Rad B from Arsenal's Young Boy.
Yes.
You done it. Yeah. So my point is, if you want to say who does more for the culture, it's clearly T-Rex. He battles the best. He battles the up and comers, and he battles anybody. I know people are going to. Oh, he's just doing it for a bag. He's just doing it for a check. Yo, this is what you do it for. That's like telling a boxer, why are you boxing so many people for a bag, for a check? Yeah, I go to work every day for a check. I don't do it because I want to. So the answer is T-Rex by far has done more for battle rap than Murder Mook. And it's not even a debate. No one who's credible and serious about battle rap would even attempt to debate that. What are you going to debate? There's no debate.
But let me ask you this, though. If Mook battles tomorrow, if Rex and Hollow battles tomorrow and Mook and Surf battle tomorrow, who do you think the battle rap community would be more keen to listen, watch shit, and talk about?
They would be more keen because of Surf's battle back, fresh home, fresh from the bing. So it would clearly be the Surf battle.
And that Rex and Surf battle was trash. I got to be real with you. Sorry, Rex and Surf. Y'all my guys, but that battle y'all had, that shit was weak in Oakland.
And that's another thing. Who won't T-Rex battle? Who hasn't he battled?
He's battled everybody.
Except Hollow, man. So when you ask the question, who has done more for the culture, how is that even a question when T-Rex has battled everybody? You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to give you let me just tell you this about T-Rex. I'm going to give you an in-the-building commentary.
Okay.
His battle against A-Verb had the crowd on fire.
You were in the building for that?
Diddy was on fire. I mean, that was a battle where I walked away from that. After I walked away from that, I was like, yo, T-Rex is clearly that dude.
The battle was aight.
Now, didn't I preface it by saying I'm giving you my
experience?
In the building, yes. Okay, that's
Diddy giving out the text. Diddy giving out the 10 stacks.
Watching Diddy do the 10 stacks, watching him use the G-Dep line, watching him battle Averb when he's looking up at Puffy and just mixing in bars coming up. I thought it was a phenomenal performance on T-Rex Sport. Averb out of pocket. Smack, do something. Stop him, man. Smack, what you going to do with your boy? Smack, 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 smack. Averb all out of character because Rex was cooking him. So,
yeah.
And one of my classic moments is after Summer Madness 2, Rex and Mook was doing a
recap. In the whip?
And
Oh, my nigga.
Yeah.
You got to be a real battle-ass fan to know what this nigga's talking about, man. Yo, if y'all YouTube T-Rex and Murder Mook Summer Madness 2, recap in the whip when they were sipping liquor and they was cracking on niggas. That shit was, and Mook was like, oh, Risha or some shit. And Rex was like, that sounded like a girl for the project or some shit like that. Yo, that shit was hilarious, my nigga. Wow, this nigga took it back.
When it comes to talking shit Rex about
that nigga.
Battle rap, Rex does it. He might be the goat of his shit the way he talks about
this
it.
His shit talking is on a 100. That's a fact.
On 100. How can we talk about one of Rex's most iconic moments in battle rap? His battle in the loop.
Yes. Best one round battles of all time. That's a fact. Classic. Instant classic.
No home field advantage. Everybody in there got a St. Louis hat on.
That's
the
a
whole
fact.
Crowd is red.
The whole loop.
Him and K-Shine took, yo, let's keep it real. That was a clean sweep for NY. Goods won, K-Shine won,
T-Rex
won.
Yeah. I think Shine battled Pooh Bear. Yeah.
He battled Will, Big Will.
Big Will, pardon me.
He battled Big Will. And here's the thing. And this is where the legend, to me, the iconic status of T-Rex gets cemented. He got prime Young Ill. Young Ill was dead nice now. That one round Young Ill
That's a fact.
Was incredible. It was incredible.
The fucking hat scheme. That shit was crazy.
Yo, every scheme he spit was crazy. This is why I give so much props to T-Rex. T-Rex stood there unimpressed by all of it. And he clearly heard that he was getting cooked, but he knew he had his material and his confidence, man. So that's a battle I've watched numerous times.
Right.
For that card, I watched that battle more than any other battle. Let me give you another sleeper battle people don't watch, but he got it. But he won when he battled Hitman. He beat Hitman. He left
he,
Hitman.
That was a one round battle, right? That was a one round battle, though.
Yeah, but he still won. His
yeah,
book still
that.
Had Hitman dumbfounded. You know what
yeah.
I'm saying? While people bash later on T-Rex battles. Oh, I don't like his battle with Cortez. I don't like his battle
that's
with
Cortez. Wait a minute. That battle with Cortez was... Let's be real.
No.
That Charlie Cook's ass whooping was...
I'm going to tell you about that battle. That battle was up against the time. That battle never had a fair chance to even be battled. Smack was rushing them. He wouldn't let them get their bars off. He was like, hurry up, hurry up. We got to go. And it just And it just, it ruined it. That battle was just ruined because of that. You know what I'm saying? But in terms of T-Rex, I got T-Rex. Like I said, I will argue that T-Rex is arguably the greatest rapper to come, the greatest battle rapper to come out of Harlem. I can make that argument.
Because he was in the field, and because he battled on Smack DVD, he battled on Grind Time, Battle America, a lot of leagues that he battled. Battle Niggas when it was really New York against the Midwest. He was part of that. Yeah, you gotta give it up to T-Rex. Only my problem is with him is that Charlie Clips battle. After that battle, I felt like we haven't seen a Rex that we've longed to see in a long time. And I think right now, if Rex is going to battle, I know he's battling Young X, I think, next month, I think, in Virginia. I don't know how much I feel about T-Rex or Young X. Well, whatever.
But I would like
to see T-Rex battle
again. Wait. I'll tell you how I feel. Young X is one of my favorite battle rappers. He's my favorite battle rapper from Charlotte.
Come on, son. What are your favorite battle rappers, my nigga?
I like him better than Av. I like Young X.
You're reaching. You sound fucking crazy.
Okay.
Wait a minute. In my Ray J voice, my nigga. Are you serious?
Dead serious. Shark City, my favorite battle rapper from the Shark City League is Young Av. I've spent, to show you how
Young
much of a battle rapper
over
I really am, I've spent
Young
hours
X
just watching
Av.
Young X battles. I've spent hours just watching
Listen,
Young X
only
battle.
Young X battle that was good, my nigga. It's him and Briz Ross. And obviously, he didn't catch up. Briz Ross team, the niggas left him in the dust. Because he was right there with the niggas. Left him in the dust, my nigga. Come on,
okay,
man.
So,
he just had a battle on Survivor
Series.
So, we just battled on Survivor Series.
So back to T-Rex. I'm saluting T-Rex on this battle with Young X. Because I think Young X can spit Virginia street shit. He's the best. He can spit Virginia street shit better than anybody. Better than anybody.
So, I don't think over Big K.
You go
I don't think
Big
over Av.
Okay, I do.
No.
I do.
No.
I think when he's spitting
no.
street shit, it's the realest street
he's a
shit. I'm just telling
you. Yeah, but he goes into comedian mode too also, my dude. He goes into comedian mode also.
He does that.
I have a problem with that. I'm just saying.
Okay. That's fine. But I salute T-Rex for taking this battle. This ain't no sleeper walk-through battle.
My nigga, T-Rex ain't battle since Shine, my nigga. No. He hasn't battled since Shine. I want to see T-Rex battle somebody else, my dude. That's just...
Okay,
you know
I'm
I mean?
Telling you, I give T-Rex major props for the Young X battle. Because I'm telling you, I am a big fan of Young X. And if you ask your man Av, Av will give Young X nothing but props. That's a fact. If you say, yo, Av, what do you think about Young X? Tell me a little bit about Young X.
That's his man, though. They from the same hood. They from the same city, my nigga. He's not going to kill him.
But he's going to give you props. He's going to let you know that he's nice. He's not going to be like, oh, he only had one good battle. Guarantee you, next time you speak to Av, say, yo, Av, what's up with Young X? Tell me, give me
battle Uno Lavos?
Like
some shit like that? No.
He has one of the best battles in the history of street status. Young X. Matter of fact, Young X is undefeated on street status. You got to look at his battle on street status. He battled SK. BSK. So how we got into it because you tried to diss him in T-Rex's battle.
I didn't diss him. My point is
T-Rex is battling him. Salute to T-Rex because this is not going to be an easy battle for T-Rex. That's what I'm telling you. I'm letting you know what it is.
What did you think about Rex losing to Shine?
Very, very disappointing, and I'll tell you why. Rex, to me, was supposed to do to Shine what Hitman did. He was like, I'm not losing to a real nigga. And you could just see the confidence. Like, it was just, I'm not losing to you. I can't explain Rex's performance against Shine. I just can't. I can't explain it. Shine says, I got into battle rap because I watched T-Rex and Uncasa as a little kid. And then he beat you, man.
Rumors saying that Rex didn't spit the material that he was supposed to spit against Shine. No excuses on that, obviously.
I'm just going to say that I was 100% wrong on my prediction on that battle. I just thought there was no way T-Rex could lose to K-Shine. And he lost. And to this day, I'll never understand why. I'll never understand that. I saw it with my own eyes, and I can't see how you can lose to somebody who admitted I came up under you, and then you lose to him.
What's T-Rex's legacy?
First ballot Hall of Famer. Legend. That's what he's a battle rap legend.
That's what it is, man. Our T Rex. Appreciate you, man. Let's go to the West Coast, sir. This one individual is a producer, one of the producers of the legendary group NWA, even though at first he was in the World Class Wrecking Crew. It's another story. I say Dr. Dre. You say what, my G?
One of the most legendary, iconic producers in the music business in history. He has been part of the most pivotal, groundbreaking moments in hip-hop history. He's played a part in about four different groundbreaking, impactful moments that changed hip-hop. And he was in the mix, in the middle of it.
You want to tell the people what that is?
Well, the first one was NWA. They did a movie about how iconic it was, and everybody went to see it. The second act was The Chronic, when he introduced a whole new crew of MCs.
I would say before The Chronic was NWA's Niggas for Life album, because they lose Ice Cube, and it's just Dre, Ren, and Easy, and Yellow.
So when I said NWA, I incorporated his NWA run.
Okay.
I wasn't acknowledging. So I said the first moment. I was talking about different moments. NWA is one of the moments that shook up hip hop. Then I said he did another moment with The Chronic when he brought in a whole new crew.
Classic.
He gave Pac a beat, but he really wasn't part of that whole Pac movement. You know what I'm saying? He was actually trying to get away from Death Row then, even though he gave him California Love. But and then during that time, there was a little slippage on where he was. He did the Dr. Dre Presents the Aftermath, and he tried to bring in a whole new group of MCs like Hitman.
Ding, ding, dong. Ding, 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 dong.
So he did that. That wasn't really well received, but he was still revered. He did work with The Firm. He got a lot of criticism for that. There was a power struggle on who was going to get most of the props between him and Trackmasters. So that's how you could tell his star wasn't shining as bright. The fact that he's actually having a power struggle with the Trackmasters on who's going to get the most props off of an album. Even though he did Phone Tap, which is just one of my favorite songs of all time. But his third act was Eminem. Once again, changed the landscape of hip-hop. So then here's a fourth act coming. Eminem tells him, yo, I got this dude from New York. His name is 50 Cent. You want to work with him?
Curtis Jackson.
Dre said, sure. And when Dre worked with him, it happens again. So in those four earth-shattering, groundbreaking, hip-hop-changing moments, Dr. Dre was the maestro. He was the conductor on the train. Every last one of those moments. You cannot talk hip-hop and not talk Dr. Dre at all. His impact is so intense that corporate America, America as we know it, basically has acknowledged you are the soundtrack to music for the last 25 years.
Is that true, though?
Which is why... Yeah, it is true.
Okay.
It is true. What do you mean? What do you mean? Is that true, though? I'm walking around with Beats by Dre. The fact that they could have him endorse a headphone, and because of his reputation as a producer and an ear for Beats, it gave the headphones credibility. So many people have tried to do their own headphones. So many people. Skull Gang, 50, Ludacris, like everybody tried to put their name to headphones, right? But Dre did it because of who Dre is, because he's been the soundtrack.
He's the first one to set it off, though.
Because he's the modern soundtrack, because he's the soundtrack to modern music of the last quarter century, Dr. Dre is where he is. And it's very difficult. It's very difficult to find a producer who's impacted music as much as he has in the last 25 years.
What did you think about his overall production to NWA, though?
I thought it was
incredible. Especially on the Straight Outta Compton album.
I thought it was incredible.
Express Yourself, Fuck the Police, Dexta Gangsta.
I thought it was incredible. The man is a musician. He has an ear for musician. He is highly influenced by George Clinton and Parliament, Funkadelic.
Yes.
But everybody has influences, so there's nothing wrong with having influences, nothing at all. For example, one of your favorite producers today is a carbon copy of everything the RZA did. His name is Derringer, and you love Derringer beats. When I hear a Derringer beat, all I hear is the RZA clone. That's all I hear, is you love RZA, and you produce like the RZA. That's what I hear when I hear Derringer. So when you're influenced
by somebody,
there's nothing.
Why are you sound so salty? Why are you shouting at Derringer? It's a mixture of Primo meets RZA.
So, I just wanted to tell you that having influences, there's nothing wrong with it. So let's rewind to his NWA stuff. We're not going to talk about his World Class Wrecking Crew stuff because KRS tells a story. I went out to the West Coast. I did a song, and these dudes, Weird Gear, which is World Class Wrecking Crew. Next time I saw them, they was NWA. Okay? That's KRS one story. His groundbreaking music brought West Coast hip hop into my life. In 88 and 89, man, I was listening to hip hop over 10 years before I heard
Slick Rick,
NWA.
Yeah.
NWA, and at this time, I didn't even know he was producing all the stuff. I just thought he was part of the group. I didn't know that he did all the production. I later on really understood his production contribution when they did the Niggas for Life album, which was incredible.
That was fire.
Without Q.
Without Q, it was a fire. Ren, yo, MC Ren does not get enough props for how much he held
on
that album.
No, he doesn't. And it's funny because they had two true MCs in that group, Ice Cube and Ren. You know what I'm saying? And I'm really big fan of Ren. I really was a fan of Ren.
The villain, boy.
Dre's beats on E for Life, E5, you know, it was spelled backwards. I would never call it Niggas for Life. I always used to try to call it what it was said backwards to this day. But that was some groundbreaking, incredible stuff. You survived without Ice Cube, and y'all were still on top. But I think he took it to another level when he did The Chronic.
Yeah.
What he did with The Chronic too,
yeah.
So groundbreaking.
He reinvented himself again, man.
Because it's not even reinventing himself. Let me tell you how difficult it is. Take your favorite producer and then take a bunch of MCs that no one has ever heard of. And within a few months, they are all superstars in hip-hop. Everybody knows who they are. They're superstars because you're blessed in the beats. I mean, what the beats he gave Snoop on Deep Cover, that Deep Cover beat is one of my favorite beats of all time. Some of my favorite beats of all time.
Which
and
beat?
That was the introduction
Deep Cover?
To Snoop. Deep Cover.
Yeah, Deep Cover was crazy. Deep Cover was wild.
And from Deep Cover, he went into the Chronic album, which I'm just going to tell you right now.
You
I listened to that album for a year straight. I listened to that album for a full year straight. It impacted New York hip hop, so I can't even tell you what it
That's
did to New York hip hop. It influenced our sound. It influenced our sound. It was that impactful. The Chronic was everything to me. It's one of the greatest hip hop albums of all time, in my humble opinion.
Agree.
And that
Agree.
Is Dr. Dre. Dr. Dre actually has production on two of three of the greatest hip hop albums of all time.
That's
arguably.
Crazy. That's crazy.
So as great as The Chronic was, so just think about this run he's on now. Two NWA albums, going to The Chronic, and then from The Chronic, you have an MC who's on the verge of becoming the biggest star in music. And y'all hit a home run with the Doggy Style album. You hit a grand slam home run. And that's another album that is in the Hip Hop Hall of Fame archives. So that was heavy. Like, they call it G-Funk. You know, that's the term they like to use, G-Funk. Which is, let me sample Parliament Funkadelic. It sounds good. And it sounds like it's easy to do, but he freaked it. He had the synthesizers going. Like, that's what I'm saying. Everybody can have the same sample, but who freaks it the best? Dre freaked that shit. Because let's be real, Eric Sermon did the same thing. He sampled the same beats. Eric Sermon called himself the Funk Lord. And he was, gritty with his shit. He just kept it mad gritty with it. Whereas Dr. Dre used to finesse that shit, man. So The Chronic was incredible. And then straight into Doggy Style. I mean, how do you have back-to-back five-mic album? How do you have back-to-back five-mic album? That's not easy. Strictly on production.
Yeah. On production
alone. That's not easy to do, man.
Top notch.
That's not easy to do.
You think he was in his prime around The Chronic and Doggy Style time? Was Dre,
yes,
was that Dre's
that's when he
prime?
I can always tell when a rapper or a producer are in their deepest love of the hip-hop culture, and they're not caught off guard because white America loves them so much, and they care what white people think, and they care about getting radio playing again. You can tell when they're strictly doing it for the love of the culture of hip-hop.
Listen,
that's the
if you
want to
think here also, you can just tell them the drop-off from Doggy Style to Dogfather, where Dre didn't do bulk of the production for Snoop's second album, and you can just tell the difference in the sound.
Right. Well, it was
different.
It was different. It was different production.
Yeah, and without Dre, shit ain't popping.
Well, how did Cube do
that? That only works for Ice Cube, my nigga. That only works for Ice Cube. That's it. It didn't work for Snoop. It worked for Cube.
It did work for Snoop. Snoop had an illustrious career after Doggy Style.
No. I'm not saying that, my nigga. But I'm saying the second album. That's all I'm saying.
You know, the second album, but here's the problem. You can't come out with Thriller and say, I don't like this album, it's not Thriller. You can't come out with The Infamous and say, I don't like this album, it's not The Infamous. Like, when you make that album as the benchmark, it's not easy to duplicate it. It's really
hard. It's hard. But you don't have those beats, my nigga.
Fine, but you're following The Chronic and Doggy Style? Like, how much can you... Like,
three-peat.
It's crazy. And you
he
might
did not get
that,
the three-peat.
He did not have those beats.
He did not three-peat, my nigga.
No, he did not three-peat. No, he didn't.
And I had a problem with that.
So then, the Murders with the Case soundtrack.
Fire.
Remember that soundtrack? That came out. That
Fire.
Came out after. Heavily G-Funk. Heavily, you know, he was... So, to me, this is still the period where Dr. Dre is still in his deepest love of hip-hop. Because, mind you, he's producing a lot. He's working with a lot of MCs. Then, you know, he had that breakup with Death Row, which affected his career. Because he walked away, left his masters, left everything. He just wanted to get out of there with Suge. And I believe he felt... The easiest way for me to get out of Suge with no smoke is to walk away with nothing.
Yeah.
And that's what he did.
Walk with
he
my
just
pride.
Said,
oh,
I'm out.
My
I don't want nothing.
Walk
now,
with
of
my
course,
pride and dignity.
Now, of course. Now, of course, he got his music back and his money back once Jimmy Iovine realized that this was all you. But to get out of that safely with no smoke, he just said, let me go, man. Let me go. You can have everything. I'm good. And who's going?
Give me my pink slip and I'll be at y'all niggas' face.
I don't want nothing. You can keep everything. I want nothing. So he did that.
Crazy.
He did that, and then that's when he started messing with East Coast artists around this time. Started dealing with Nas.
A lot of niggas, man.
He did. Let's talk about two of my favorite songs on the Firm. 5 Minutes to Flush.
Nature Dolo.
With Nature. That's one of my favorite songs on the album.
Of course it is.
Phone Tap, which is one of my all-time favorite songs. So what
with
you see
daily.
Now is what you see now is Dr. Dre is really a great producer, period. Because now he's working with New York MCs. And they sound fire.
I wonder how the West Coast felt about that at that particular time. It's almost like Ice Cube when he was doing a lot of videos in New York or Cypress Hill. Because they were doing videos in New York when they first popped off instead of Cali. And I was sitting there like, are these niggas from New York? But they're really from Cali. So, you know, maybe I know that.
Right. So during that time, I liked his music. I liked his beats. Like, Dre's beats were incredible. I mean, like I said, he had that little low with Dr. Dre Presents The Aftermath, and that really didn't hit. You know what I'm saying? He basically tried to do the Chronic over, was bringing in a whole bunch of new MCs, but for whatever the reason is, that didn't hit that hard in that era. We did a hip-hop appreciation about 1996. If you notice, we did not talk about Dr. Dre's album that came out in 1996, did we?
No, sir. Not at all.
Okay.
That shit ain't get no light.
Okay. That's right. So he does The Firm, which got all the light in the world. It's a box Firm album. I still have it to this day. It's a cigarette box. I was still getting cassette tapes in 97 because I was so real in the field when it came to cassettes. Right?
Oh, boy.
Real in the field. Real in the field. Mm-hmm. So he does that. And, you know, I don't know where he's going with this. You know, he's co-producing The Firm. They shoot the video and all that. And then I didn't hear from him for a while.
For a while, for a good year.
And
too.
Then all of it.
Took hiatus.
And then all of a sudden, there's this white boy that MTV
Elvis
keeps playing. Saying, hi, my name is. And Dr. Dre was in it. I was like, what the fuck is Dre doing in this? This is weird. What is Dre doing in this weird video with this weird rapping white boy? that weird rapping white boy was that weird song, that weird Al Yankovic type of song, was Eminem.
Awesome.
Act three, the third time, Dr. Dre is now starting a new
chapter,
movement, a new hip hop changing chapter. Eminem. When white America gets, when black people co-sign, when black people co-sign a white person doing black music, white America elevates that person to the greatest.
White America!
That's what they do. So once Eminem is like, Dr. Dre's the GOAT, Dr. Dre's the this, Dr. Dre the that, and every white person in the world bought Eminem, there you have it. It took Dre to mythical, it took Dre to status of God status. I mean, Hove used to get production from him. Remember on the watches?
That's a fact. We give Dre his props, but that's where it stops. It's the rock.
So then, now that Dre's back again, Dre can do the Chronic 2001. Because now he's.
Fire album.
He's completely back. Through the Eminem connection, and he comes out with, you know, Chronic 2001, which was a really, really, really good album. You give the classic status?
Four and a half.
I don't give
four,
it five.
Four mics, four and a half.
Okay.
Four,
okay.
Four and
I give it four mics. I give it four mics. Okay. Four and a half is close, man. I give it four mics.
Cause
there
I was, understand
you know,
four and a half. I'll give it four and a half.
So at this point, to me, Dre still has that hunger for hip-hop. I think the success of M was so overwhelming in terms of the financial bag that it gave him that at this point, man, he can really just chill. Just
right.
Straight up chill. And whenever
fact.
You come back, let me give you some beats. Like, it was that serious. Because the same thing happened to Eminem when Eminem got 50. The bag was so incredible. Eminem just said, yo, I'm going to just kick my feet back in the lounge. This dude is selling 5 million records back to back, and I'm getting the most money off of his albums. Like, I can chill. So that's what Dre did to me, in my opinion. At this point, I didn't think his beats were that great anymore. They weren't my favorite beats, the beats that he was giving Eminem. A lot of
people
didn't
like them too much. But they fit Eminem, though. You'd agree with that. They fit Eminem, though.
So,
you wouldn't agree with that?
That? No, I don't agree with that.
Why?
I don't agree with that.
He couldn't get fucking 50 of those beats or
Eminem,
game of those beats.
Because Eminem is a lyricist, and Eminem sounds good over...
Yeah, well, he's not dropping lyrical bombs on those certain beats that Dre was giving him, IG.
I'm saying this. Eminem, to me, is an artist who's not defined by his producer. That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. But I'm highlighting how Dr. Dre played such a pivotal role in the ascension and emergence of Eminem. So now we're going to get to Act 4 that changes the face of hip-hop. Yo, we're going to put you in the studio with 50. And, you know, hopefully our audience is old enough to understand Get Rich or Die Trying and the impact that had on hip-hop.
Game over. Game over. Literally. And, another rejuvenation.
And there you have it. He produced the biggest song of 50's career in the club. Oprah's on her TV show going, I like that song in the club. Doom, 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 doom. Oprah Winfrey is quoting the beat.
She got open. She got open.
This is all Dre. This is all Dr. Dre beat. I mean, it was just boom. So, you know, at this point, Dre is so far in the air. He's so, like, I don't even think you can
beat Dre.
Like 50 said, I put it this way. Let me tell you how big Dre was. 50 always used, I've never been to Dre house. Like, yep. That's how big a star Dre was. Dre was so big of a star that you can't even get near him if your name ain't Jimmy Iovine and you don't own the music industry. Okay? Right. So then he does the Game album. He does some songs for the Game album. You know, one of my favorite songs, West Side Story.
Classic.
Love that song. So now you have him working with a new Los Angeles rapper. So Dre's name is attached to the biggest album on the West Coast again. Matter of fact, Dre's attached to the biggest album on the West Coast since his album.
Yeah.
So that is why he is, this is why Dr. Dre, to me, goes down as one of the most iconic, legendary producers ever.
Would you agree that all those beats he has on Stash, should he not just give them out to people on the West Coast, like Nipsey Hussle, Game, and them niggas, can't just give them beats? I could imagine how many beats he has in them hard drives that he's not even using and shit.
Well, his net worth is $750 million.
Good Lord.
Dr. Dre is probably in his 50s now. He's so far out of anyone's... I mean, he lives the life of basically a billionaire. You know, that's how rich he is. You know, the hunger to make that classic album or to be on the cover of XL, so those are not goals anymore for him.
Right.
You know, he's into scoring movies. He donates money to USC. Like, he's on to
other
shit. So far into other stuff that I wish he would say, you know what? Let me open up the vault and give you guys some beats. I would love for him to give beats to Chubby Jag, my new favorite MC from the West Coast, who I think is nicer than everybody from the West Coast. Yes,
not Kendrick.
Chubby Jag.
You're better than Kendrick.
I would love for him to get those beats out. I would love for him to get those beats out. Better than Game by far. It's not even up for debate.
No.
Chubby Jag is a better MC than Game. No question about it.
I follow Game way more than Chubby Jag.
He's a West Coast MC. He's a West Coast MC. Chubby Jag rhymes to my soul. He rhymes to my soul. I would love I would like for Dr. Dre to work with him. You know, Kendrick doesn't need Dr. Dre. You know, so when you see
I would like Conway and Benny to grab some beats from Dre. I know they have Derringer, but I would love for them to grab some beats from Dre.
So the funny thing is about it is Dre did not lead the Kendrick Renaissance or the new Kendrick movement. You know, he got on board, but it wasn't like this is your artist that you found, and you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, he didn't discover Kendrick and put it wasn't like that. It was like once he realized, wow, Kendrick is the one holding the state down. Now I'm going to say Kendrick is the best rapper from the West Coast, and all the NWA praises him, and you know, and I'll give an example. Kendrick Lamar's album Damn got 5 Grammys. There's never been a Dr. Dre produced album that got 5 Grammys. And I'm telling you guys right now, Damn was not better than The Chronic. It was not better than Doggy Style. But you see how whack the Grammys are? Just think about that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Kendrick Lamar is being decorated by white America as the greatest rap album to ever come out in the history of the West Coast. And I'm telling you, it did not have the impact of The Chronic. It did not have the impact of Doggy Style. No album Kendrick Lamar has ever had impact on those albums was as commercially successful as those albums. Yet the Grammy said, "Oh, you're the greatest, Kendrick. Here's all the Grammy awards."
Yeah, but that was gangster music they was doing, my nigga. Gangster music is not gonna win a Grammy, my dude.
So
Kendrick is talking to a different audience than Chronic audience.
So my point is The Chronic, the Grammys are a joke. Because they decorate hip hop in a way that's not real. You know what I'm saying? But this is no diss to Kendrick, but I'm just telling you, it ain't Doggy Style, it ain't The Chronic, it ain't NWA, it ain't that, it ain't none of that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is another phase of Dre, Dr. Dre. Everybody knows Dr. Dre through the headphones.
Yep.
Beats by Dre. And he's getting so much, he got such a bad
all three of my kids, all three of my kids got a pair of them joints. Yep.
My man, everybody sees me. I walk around my Beats by Dre every day, and I'm banging, playing hip-hop only. Only rap. Only hip-hop. Nothing else.
Well, I play R&B, reggae, you know, shit like that.
Have fun. Have fun. I'm listening to rap.
Yes, I have fun, nigga. What the fuck you talking about?
Okay? I'm listening to Nino. Nino Man and Kiss. All right? So, now, I just want to highlight this. Dr. Dre did a song with Nas called Nas Is Coming. What is your thoughts on that song?
Love Nas Is Coming. Nas Is Coming.
Dr. Dre.
Nas Is Coming.
Dr. Dre.
Nasty
Nas. Dr. Dre also did The Watcher with
Fire
on the Blueprint.
Jigga Man.
So how do you like Dr. Dre's beats with how would you consider his beats with Nas and
I wish Jay had
Peter,
more
to Young Cooper?
I wish Jay had more production from Dr. Dre. And
well,
Jay
Dre
did write Still Dre.
He produced that song on
ding 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 ding. Yeah. He killed that. Oh. Young Vito, Voice of the Young People. You know. But yeah, man, Dr. Dre is definitely a legend.
Let me ask you guys. Do people know why we say Young Vito, Voice of Young People? Do they know why we're saying that when we're talking about?
I would hope they would.
I hope they do too. Cause
you don't think so?
You know, they not know why we saying that. You know what I'm saying?
But niggas listen to Hov, man. Come on, let's not do the audience like that, my dude.
If I go, I'm doing that to the audience.
Oh God, let me ask you a question. I know it's a Dr. Dre appreciation, but for you, Dr. Dre or Primo?
Primo.
So, I'm not mad at that. I'm not mad at that at all.
There's more producers. There's more producers. Ask me. Dr. Dre, the producer, ask me. There's more you can say.
Havoc?
Oh, my God. That's so... Havoc's impact on me is immeasurable, man.
Is it a regional thing?
I'd rather you say somebody else. Say somebody else besides Havoc, because I don't want to say. I got him over Dame Grease. Say somebody from Shaolin.
The RZA, of course, RZA Rector, man. Havoc.
I got Ruler Zigzag. Ziggler a lot.
You got Rizzo over Dre?
In terms of my
I think Dre had a longer impact than I think Rizzo had a 4-year stretch where he was that nigga.
See, the thing is, I think people fail to realize is it's what you do in that stretch and how you impact the game.
Yeah,
Rizzo's stretch was longer than 4 years. Rizzo's stretch was longer than 4 years. Rizzo's stretch was 8 years, and I'll tell you why. 1993 to Supreme Clientele.
It will take forever, man.
That is an 8-year run. Supreme Clientele.
All right, Supreme Clientele. Okay, I get that. Supreme Clientele. I get that.
And that came out in 2000. That's 8 years.
But by the time the W came and all that, it was like.
Yeah, but you don't need it. He did an 8-year run already. Like, what do you need him to do? He put out too much classic material. Yo, come on. RZA put out too many classic material before the W came out. So, I mean, there's nothing to. The impact is there already. This is no slight on Dr. Dre. I'm telling you, Dr. Dre will. So let me tell you how the rap world looks at it. The rap world will rate Dr. Dre as the greatest producer in hip hop history.
Yep.
Because of those four hip hop pop culture changing moments of hip hop. They changed pop culture bigger than rap. You know what I'm saying? Changed pop culture.
All right. That's what it is, man. Our Dr. Dre appreciation. Take us home, my G.
PSA Podcast, home of the best in-ring fighter in wrestling, Ziggy, a.k.a. Dolph Ziggler. Put some respect
on
Dolph
a reach.
Ziggler's name.
That's
Vince
a reach,
McMahon,
my nigga.
Do
come on,
with the man. He was the best in-ring performer. He's better than you, Nakamura, in your strong style, okay? Ziggy is the best in-ring dude, okay?
Over Sting? Over Sting?
Now, for right now, I'm not talking about
over right now.
Old
okay.
I'm talking about now.
Sting, I guess.
You go back in the days on me.
Yeah, my bad. That's what it is, man. PSA motherfucking podcast. Holler at your boys. You already know what it is. Our basketball talk is up there. All the Toronto Raptors are for real. That's up on the channel. Also, ARP's interview I had with ARP's up on the channel. About to drop this Rock. Yes, the Rock. WWE. Appreciation. Fuck with your boys. You back in the building.